You know, Christmas time, I don't know about you, if it's already in the air, it's in the air in our family at least. Yesterday, we set up our Christmas tree with the kids, and so that was already helping us get ready. Everybody, see Michelle shaking her head, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Well, it's Christmas time in our house, and so our kids woke up this morning ready to turn on the lights. But, you know, I was thinking especially a lot about gifts, you know, as a kid when I was thinking about the Christmas for everyone and seeing those bags last week, and I started thinking about, you know, what those kids' response is going to be like when they see these gifts and the generosity of our church family blessing them this Christmas. And I started to think a little bit about when I was a kid, what were my favorite gifts that I remember getting? And as I thought about that, it's interesting that many times the gifts I was most excited about that I remember not being able to like sleep through the night because I was so excited to possibly get to open it the next morning were often the gifts I spent the least time playing with. I remember I collected comic cards, maybe comic cards seem really lame to you, but it was really cool to me as a kid. And I remember waking up, unwrapping the package and seeing which cards I got. And then what I did is usually looked at them for about 2 hours and then put them in these little sleeves and then I put them under my bed for like the next 6 months until a friend would come over and then he would find them and we'd look at them together. Or I remember there was a show when I was a kid, it was called Street Shark. And I thought it was the coolest show when I was a kid. It was like these sharks that had like human powers and they would destroy and do municipal damage all around the city. And I remember there was an action figure that I thought was going to be the best gift. But then when I got it, like the arms didn't move at all, you know, and so it was one of those action figures that looks really cool, but practically was not very helpful. And then, so I think about the gifts that I was most excited about and how really they weren't very useful for other people and not very enjoyable for my own life compared to the gifts my parents got when I was a kid. They were a lot wiser than I was. And often they got the gifts that usually involved others. They had the purpose. They were to be used with others, and therefore usually they were more enjoyable. For example, one of the gifts I remember getting that was so heavy when my brothers opened the gift. There we go. All right, is these baseball bases. And so there's like rubber baseball bases. And I remember the first time opening this gift and being like, interesting. From my parents. But then I remember the rest of our life as kids growing up, we had a park near our house. We would carry these basements with my brothers. We would set them up at the park, and then all the neighborhood kids would come and we would play baseball games. And it was a blast. Then one of my other favorite gifts. Anybody remember this? The Nerf football, Howler football? Remember that one? You throw it and it makes a whistling sound. Again, this gift, why was it so amazing? Well, you played it with your brother. And I still remember the first time we used this, my dad went out, we went outside, we went to throw it, and my dad actually broke my pinky finger with this Nerf football. First time, right? A memory made for my lifetime because of this gift. And then the other gift I remember thinking about was the Roland keyboard that I got. And right there. And so I was not super excited about piano lessons, but my parents got me this keyboard. And I had little did I know that I would be using this for years, the rest of my life. Even when I came to the college ministry here at Faith, they actually needed a piano player at that time. We had a transition in some leaders. And I remember, you know, the pastoral intern at that time saying, "Aaron, I heard that you play the piano." And I was like, well, I'm not very good at it, but I ended up leading in the worship team for a little while on this Roland piano. Little did I know that that gift that my parents gave would continue to be used to bring joy to so many. You know, those days we called the dark ages of the Purdue Bible Fellowship because we really didn't have a permanent place. We were a nomadic people at that time, and I like to say this was especially a low note in the worship team for PBF. But whatever the gifts, when I think of the most useful and often the gifts that ended up bringing the most joy to my life were given with a purpose of others in mind. It was not just for my own benefit. And when we think about the Lord's gifts, especially the spiritual gifts that he provides, they're designed for others in mind as well. We believe, for example, our Father, he's the author of all good gifts, and he gives us all good gifts. And when he gives good gifts, it's unlike anything else that we can imagine. All these gifts, you could go to a store and you could get them, right? You could buy them. But the spiritual gifts are gifts that only God provides by his kindness through new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they're unlike anything that we can find in this world, that other people can't go and just buy these gifts. They're given specially by God, designed for us to build up one another in love. And so when we have that perspective, it becomes exciting to think about the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us as a church family to grow. And his gifts, we know, are intended to be used by others. They're used for a purpose. So they're not like the comic cards that you just put under your bed, you know, and you then wait 30 years to pass down to your great-grandchildren when you're downsizing your house. No, God's gifts are to be useful. And I think of those baseball bases. No parent gives their child baseball bases like that, expecting the child to just set the bases up by himself and just do laps around the bases. Right, that would be cruel, right? That would be horrible. Or like that Nerf football. Can you imagine giving that gift and seeing your child or a neighborhood kid just throwing that ball, hits the ground, and then just walking and going and get it by themselves, and then picking up the ball and throwing it, and then going and get it by themselves? No, right? So when God gives a gift, it's designed to benefit and be a blessing to be enjoyed together with one another. And so this is why it's so important we understand the use of spiritual gifts this morning. And so this morning we're talking about stewardship of gifts. So if you turn in your Bible to 1 Peter 4:10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And while you're turning there, I just hope we've been enjoying this series in stewardship. I hope every person in our church family is taking some practical takeaways to your life, and by the end of this month, you would be able to say, you know, when I thought about priorities, here's one way that I've been growing in the stewardship of my priorities. You know, when I thought about the stewardship of time, here's one way I'm being a better steward of my time. You know, when I heard Pastor Byers' message on the stewardship of treasure, I can already see ways that I'm changing how I'm using the resources that God has given me to be a better steward. And so every person in our church family hopefully should be memorizing the definition of stewardship, that stewardship is God-given responsibility with accountability. And I hope, too, you know the four factors of stewardship as well. The first, that God owns everything and you own nothing. Also, that God entrusts you with everything you have. And then trust is the key word of this sentence. God decides to give to each of us a portion of what belongs to him. And so for next Sunday, for example, when we think about the package that we're going to get as a church family for the See More Clearly campaign, right? When you think of that package, there's all sorts of things that are included in that. And so as a believer, when we accept and have accept a relationship with Jesus Christ, God is giving us a ministry package, and one component of that package is spiritual gifts. But there's so much that God entrusts to us beyond just spiritual gifts. But we need to understand, how do we use this part of the ministry that the Lord has entrusted to us? And then when you think about the third aspect, that God will ask you to increase or diminish what God has given you, especially when we think of spiritual gifts, we want to be maximizing the use of the gifts because these are for the benefit of others in the body. And then the fourth aspect of stewardship, God can call you into account at any time, and it may be today. So our passage this morning in 1 Peter 4 requires, I think, us to kind of backtrack a little bit to make sure that we understand what spiritual gifts are. Because in this passage, many times, a biblical author is just assuming you already know this. Meaning the churches, especially that Peter is writing to in the area of Asia, which would be like present-day Turkey area, they've already received teaching on the spiritual gifts. And so Peter is already assuming they know what spiritual gifts are. And so if we're a little bit confused when you read through a passage like this, many times you're like, what? It's like entering a conversation halfway through. And so we have to understand especially two things before we dive in our passage. First, that every Christian is gifted by God to accomplish certain things in his church. So every Christian is gifted by God to accomplish certain things in his church. So that's the first assumption that Peter makes that you understand about spiritual gifts. So for example, passage 1 Corinthians 12, 4-5 tells us this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he, the Spirit, wills. And so when we think about the role of the Holy Spirit, one of his roles is to distribute gifts to each of us. And this means that every single one of you has been placed in this church by God with a spiritual gift, if you are a believer in him, so that you would be able to build up this church that Christ has purchased. And so the implication here that Peter's assuming is that you're a Christian. And so there may be some here today who do not have a personal relationship. There has not been a time where you have turned away from your sin and you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, because these spiritual gifts that we're talking only come to you because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, which happens when you place your faith and trust in Christ. You're born again. You have new life. And so that comes with new life in Jesus Christ. And so we would encourage you that before you think about, oh, what are my spiritual gifts? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have these spiritual gifts. These are given by the Spirit. And so we would encourage you first to receive Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. These gifts come with relationship with our Savior, Jesus. And so we would encourage you to, especially if you have questions about that, you can talk with me after the service. But that's the starting place first for you before you think about what are my spiritual gifts, how do I use spiritual gifts. You need to have a relationship with the Lord first. And then the second assumption that he's making is that you understand that the way God wants you to minister, that you understand that the way God wants you to minister with your spiritual gifts. I want you to mark in your Bible, if you have the notes or in your handouts, there's four primary passages in the New Testament. And so just to have these in your mind is first, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. So you can make that note. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is one of the primary passages on gifts. Romans 12 verses 3 through 8. Romans 12 verses 3 through 8. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 through 16. And then this passage that we're in this morning, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. So these are the primary passages that talk about spiritual gifts in the local church. And then you'll see many times in the book of Acts describes lots of ways that these gifts are used as well. And so I would encourage you to just make yourself familiar, but we're going to be focusing on 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 today. But what's interesting is there's nowhere in Scripture that gives you like a formula, an idea of how do you go about finding out these spiritual gifts. It's not like there's a spiritual gift test. There's not an inventory. There's not like a box check that we have at your church to say, here's how you know what your spiritual gift is. And yet God is expecting that you understand what your spiritual gift is and you know how to minister to it. And so you're like, wait, what a minute. You're telling me God expects me to know this without telling me exactly how I know it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What? Right? And so you might say, well, then how? How will I know? How will I know what God wants me to do? And here's what I think Scripture especially emphasizes. Serve and observe. Serve and observe. You serve and watch. And so when we serve, many times God is what he will do is he will confirm from the body of Christ your spiritual gifts. There'll be evidence in the life of the church. These gifts are given for the encouragement, for the building up, to produce fruit in the church. And so usually when you're using your gifts that the Lord has given you, you're going to see evidence of it in the lives of people. People many times will confirm it to you in words of encouragement, ways that they shared you've been helpful, ways that you've been a blessing to them. And I think that helps us better discern the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given you. Let me tell you a personal story just to illustrate this. You know, before I became a pastor, I was growing spiritually a lot in my college years when I came here to Faith Church. And I was experiencing a lot of personal change, and God was working a lot in my life at that point. But before I became a pastor, what I did is I worked in manufacturing. Through my time at even Purdue, I was working at Caterpillar in town. I worked in supply chain and accounting. And I was pretty skilled at what I did in those jobs. I was experiencing a lot of opportunities, and so God had provided several job offers. And it was during this time that I was really wrestling with, though, like, well, what should I do to serve the Lord? And I was perfectly content at that time to see, oh, you know, I could see myself serving the Lord, working at Caterpillar or working at Ernst & Young. But then that summer before my senior year, I was starting just to desire more and more and more to serve in the church. I just love serving other believers. I love discipling other college students. I loved evangelizing international students. And when I woke up, I just could not stop thinking about people. Think about this person, how they're doing. Think about that person, how they're doing. Think about that person, how they're doing. And that's really where it started. And so I was not planning to be a pastor. I had no thought about being a pastor. And then honestly, I remember Pastor Brent Oakwin getting lunch with me and two other pastors at that time talking with me and saying, you know, Aaron, we see the Lord has gifted you to lead and to care for others in the church. And we've seen it in these ways. And they begin to explain. And, you know, I thought about it. I said, yeah, I see there's ways that people have been blessed by my ministry. But I had never even thought about being a pastor or being considered for pastoral ministry. And to me, one of the things that then became evident to me is as I continued to serve more and more in the body, that desire continued to grow more and more. And then I ended up applying to seminary, being mentored by the pastors here, being served more. And what that time did was it confirmed for me my desire, but it also confirmed for me that many times we come to understand our spiritual gifts not by our own understanding. If you had asked me, would I be a pastor to my college self, and that this would be a spiritual gift of mine, it was not even on my radar. And yet it was confirmed by the work of the Spirit in the lives of others and in His church. And so that encouraged me that many of you, right, maybe are still just somewhat discovering some of the spiritual gifts that the Lord is giving you. And as you continue to serve, you're going to observe ways that the Lord will bless this body as you continue to serve Him. And so if you're in the discovery stage, my encouragement to you, if you're like, I'm not sure what my spiritual gifts are, part of my job as a pastor is to help you discern those things, to equip you to use your spiritual gifts. And so I would be more than happy to sit down with you. But one encouragement practically is just start serving. Serve, right, in the Christmas for everyone. Serve in children's ministries. Serve in studying the Bible one-on-one online with somebody. Serve with evangelizing somebody who's not a Christian. Just start serving. Practice hospitality. Make a meal. Deliver it to somebody. Right? Just start serving, and the Lord many times will confirm these things through the work of your hands as you serve the body. And so this is the basic foundation we need to understand before we jump into our passage in 1 Peter 4. So now let's look at 1 Peter 4, chapter verses 10 and 11. This is the word of the Lord. It says, each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as a good stewards of the manifold, that means varied, grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so now we see from this passage, we know what a spiritual gift is. And so as we look at this, we're talking about stewardships of gifts, four truths to properly steward our gifts this morning. First, you got to use your gifts, right? The gifts are given for you to use. That may seem obvious, doesn't it? But we have to serve enough in order to understand how we ought to use our gifts. And so as we continue to be faithful in serving in the body, many times the spiritual gifts become more and more evident that the Lord wants us to use in ministry. And so what does using our gifts might look like? You know, 1 Peter 4 doesn't give us a lot of a picture of what that might look like, but there's other passages that I think give a little more clarity, a little more detail. For example, Romans 12, 6 through 8. When we turn there, God says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so Peter does not take the same amount of space to highlight different ways that people serve and are used by the Lord, but the connection is clear in this text. If God equipped you for teaching, then you have to be teaching. If God equipped you to be an exhorter, you have to be exhorting. If God equipped you to be a giver, then you have to be giving generously. If God equipped you to be a mercy giver, then you give mercy with cheerfulness. And so God wants to make it clear, it's so critical that every member of our church understands this, that God is holding you account for how you're using your spiritual gifts in the body, and you have to be using it. So there is no such category as 25% are doing 100% of the ministry, or, you know, 50% are doing 100% of the ministry, or 75% are doing 100% of the ministry. No, 100% of the church needs to be doing 100% of the ministry that the Lord has entrusted to us. We all have to be faithful with the spiritual gifts that we have. And you may not quite understand what your spiritual gifts are, and God will make that clear, because his expectation is you can know. And so our encouragement would be is begin to start to serve the body in all sorts of ways. And you'll see the evidence, especially of how the Lord produces fruit in certain ways in your life. And those oftentimes give you a very confidence, especially of the spiritual gift that the Lord has entrusted to you. Now, especially even at this time of COVID, let's just think practically as a church family. It might be discouraging right now when you're like, my gift is like hospitality, and like nobody wants to come over to my house, right? I mean, that's part of me. My wife and I love to have people over to our house, and then yet, you know, you're like invite after invite after invite after invite, and people are like, no. Right? And that can be discouraging. And so that can lead you to what? Not be a faithful steward of your gift. Right? And others right now might be, especially you might be thinking, you know, my gift is, you know, especially of like greeting and welcoming people well. And right now, and people don't want to be greeted, people don't want to be welcomed. Right? And so I think we have to especially be thinking right now as a church family, how do I use my gift right now that the Lord has entrusted to me to be creative and thinking, what does this look like, especially when there's a large part of our church family who's not able to come on Sunday mornings, or they would like to come and they just don't think it's the best opportunity for them right now. And to be intentional to make sure that we're using our spiritual gifts to serve one another. And so, for example, maybe your gift is teaching. And because of the certain context that you're in, you don't have as many teaching opportunities. So you're going to have to be creative of, how can I maybe get with somebody online to teach them God's word? Maybe my gift is evangelism. Well, how can I go out of my way to reach out and minister to that person when I can't expect them to come to me like I normally would? And so as a church family, I think we're going to be especially proactive during this time to be thinking, what does it look like to use this gift to be faithful even during difficult times like we're in? I want to push also our understanding a little bit further. Consider how some of these spiritual gifts have their unique opportunities as well as challenges. For example, I think mercy people are like very popular people. Right? When you think, who doesn't want to hang out with the mercy people? Right? They always are smiling. They're always encouraging. They're always loving. It seems like they're never down many times. And they manage to find the good in everything that you do. Right? They're the type that bake you cookies and they make a meal for you and you gain 25 pounds and then they tell you, your outfit looks great. Yet, you know, everybody loves the mercy people. I don't think the exhorter often is seen that way by the body. The exhorter many times is trying to find the nicest way possible to say something like, that was the worst decision you could have ever possibly made. Your outfit is about to explode. Please stop eating the cookies, right? So there's all sorts of right ways that God has gifted us differently in the body. And yet many times we can have a perception, right? Certain types of gifts are better, right? Certain types of gifts are more needed than other types of gifts. Who wants to be around the exhorter people, the people who challenge you? Right? We all say, oh yeah, I want to be challenged, until they challenge you. Right? Then it's uncomfortable many times, it's hard, it pushes you, it stretches you. But God says we need those people in the body. What about the leader people? Many of us times, we like to say, right, we want to be especially exercising leadership. But many times the idea of leadership can be also really hard. Versus the teaching part, many times all of us say, yeah, I want to teach. Teaching could be attractive, the good gifts, right? I see it's so out there. Everybody sees it. It's a wonderful thing. We love them. We appreciate the ways that they're able to open up the Bible and the ways they can explain it. And some people just are amazing at it. And we can easily gravitate toward that type of gift, even more than appreciating even just the gift of leadership. You know, the Bible, for example, tells us here, leaders are to lead with diligence. And I just kept on thinking about that phrase. Why is that so important for the leaders to understand that? Well, I think many times leaders understand a lot of people don't want to be led. And that can be discouraging. when you especially want to be leading and helping the church get to a better place. And they're not always voted as the most popular either, even leaders. For example, can you imagine our senior pastor Byer's job? Sometimes, right, he'll be in a staff meeting, you know, and he's thinking about where God might want us to have. You know, he's like, look at this hill, look at this mountain, we can get there by the Lord's strength, let's go. And then you look around, everybody in the staff, they're like, oh, I feel tired. I don't know if we can do it. I start to doubt, right? This is a sacrificial, deny yourself, take up your cross type of opportunity. And then sometimes there's just deaf silence of, I don't know, that's going to really be my favorite thing. It's hard at times to lead, right? And I think many of times, if we're honest, when somebody has the gift of leadership and we may not have that gift, this video clip, I think, describes how many times we feel in the body by leaders.
Darn thing. Come on, Russell, would you hurry it up?
I'm tired. My knee hurts.
Which knee?
My elbow hurts, and I have to go to the bathroom.
I asked you about that 5 minutes ago.
Well, I didn't have to go then. I don't want to walk anymore. Can we stop?
Russell, if you don't hurry up, the tigers will eat you.
They're no tires in South America. Zoology.
Right? I think Russell in that moment captures many times how we feel, right? And the struggle that leaders sometimes have with leading people, right? It's easy to, right? We feel tired at times. We see our weaknesses. And to have to depend on God's strength, depend on his promises, at times it can feel exhausting and hard. And yet God is saying we need leaders, right, in the church. That helps to build up the body, even at times when it may be difficult and it may be hard. And so we have to think, especially, stewardship is embracing whatever the Lord has given you. And many times you may say, I don't want this slice. I feel like I'm gifted in this way, but this isn't the most popular or exciting gift. And to think, that's not what stewardship is. God has entrusted you with this gift. And you may have a gift that's different than others. How are you going to be faithful in using that gift to build up the body? You know, I was thinking even through this, you know, Zach Haas, who serves as our usher through this whole COVID time, Zach just has a gift of discernment. He's wise. He's great at statistics, great in using. And it's just amazing of the blessing that he's been to the body with all the variations of seating arrangements. And you have everybody gets here like 5 minutes before the service, right? And he's trying to figure out arranging everyone. I'm thankful for guys like Zach who are just wired. God has gifted in their ministry basket, right? A way to bless the body that is different than many of us. There are some of our sisters who are serving in the children's ministries. I think of Risha and Andrea and Missy. And there's times where I just see the screaming child just dropped off at the children's ministry. And immediately they're just kind of calm. And they pick them up in their hands. And they rock them. And you're just like, that's a gift. Kids just love to be around these people. And then, you know, my son, Winston, who's a college student, he is teaching in the children's ministries. I've just seen him go above and beyond as a skill of teaching. The other weekend, my son came home with his hymnal from children's ministries, wanting me to play and sing the songs on the piano. And him to see that way was building up my son and his excitement to serve. And I could go on and on and on just thinking of different individuals in our church family, our worship team, other individuals with giving and mercy and hospitality. And just to think about how diverse our body is and how we all need one another. But we have to be faithful to deploy those gifts, even at times when it may not be the most popular, or even times where it may be deploying that gift is hard because of the given circumstances. We have to be faithful. Then focus on benefiting others with your gift. Focus on benefiting others. 1 Peter 4 says, each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So each believer in Jesus has a ministry package. The Lord molded us a certain way. And yet one of the hurdles, I think, oftentimes, again, is thinking through, you're not always viewed as loving or caring or helpful when you deploy your gifts in ways that are building up the body. And so we like ministers who teach well and exercise a lot of mercy and are very generous, but not always liking so much the person who leads well, who exhorts, and who confronts at times. And yet we need both in the body. And so consider especially how the ministry can be helpful and beneficial to somebody. You know, in today's message, I thought, you know, you could spend a lot of time just talking about the ways that spiritual gifts have been misused. But just for our time of today, I just didn't think it would be as helpful, because you can sin while leading. You can sin in giving. You can sin in exhorting or teaching. It's possible to sin even in showing mercy. And so we have to be aware of that. But this morning, I especially want us to be thinking about how some people can be intimidated to fulfill their ministry responsibilities because others might not always like it. I think that's one common excuse we can think in our mind of why I shouldn't serve and why I shouldn't do this, is I'm either comparing myself to other people and think I'm not as good as Matt Chandler in preaching, therefore I should not preach, right? Or I'm not as, you know, generous as this person, therefore I should not give. And to be on guard against that type of thinking, God has gifted you with a spiritual gift and you must be using it. So for example, leaders, you have to lead with all diligence because it's good for the non-leaders in our church. We need people who will tell us that we can take that hill with the Lord's strength. And so practically, even in the history of our church, without God working in and through various individuals in our church family, those with the gift of giving and generosity, those with the gift of leading, those with the gift of mercy, we would not have, practically speaking, half of the ministries. There would be no counseling ministry if there were not men gifted with the gift of exhortation. We would not have a faith Christian school if there were not people gifted with the gift of teaching and administration. We would not have Faith Bible Seminary, right, if there were not men who are gifted with the gift of pastoring. We would have no VOH, no Restoration, no Faith West, nor North End Community Center. When you think practically, God worked by his kindness in and through this body by motivating individual people in our church family, each seeking to be faithful to use the gifts that the Lord had entrusted them for serving in these ministries. And were there obstacles? Absolutely. Were there naysayers? Absolutely. Were there people who just want to take their ball and go home because it's hard? Absolutely. Yet it's ultimately right for God's glory as a church why we were seeking to do these things. And when it happens, it's amazing. You just marvel at how God can work in pretty amazing ways to bless and build up our body. And so just practically begin to think of the people in your life right now in our church family. Who are the exhorters in your life? Are you thankful for them? Who are the leaders in your life? Who are the mercy people? Who are those who are just happy to serve and delighted to serve with the strength that God provides? And are you regularly thanking them for the ways that they're ministering in our body? That's one way we need to be especially seeking to build one another up, is encouraging one another with the spiritual gifts that we observe in others. And so can you imagine then what the body would be like if you had no exhorter people? If you had none of the people who call us out? None of the people who can look through all the garbage, right, and that you're using as an excuse to justify why you don't want to grow or why you don't want to change? And they're the type who cut through all the garbage and tell you how it is. Think about, right, so many of the teachers that we look back in our life, we often say are the best teachers in my life, were not the ones who just made you feel good all the time, right? But who confronted you at times when it was difficult and hard, and how much you grew. Many times in that moment, they were like the most unpleasant person to be around. And then years later in your life, you look back and you're like, that person was not in my life, I would not be the same person I would be today. And so we need to be encouraging one another with all different spiritual gifts because we're beneficial to one another. Another key passage of the gifts is 1 Corinthians 12. And so I'm going to read through this passage. It says, God has placed all the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. Not what you desired, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Notice that. Meaning there's an appearance of how we're going to perceive different people in our body. We might appear in our eyes that this person is weaker, yet they're necessary. And those members of the body which, again, does God deem it this way? No, we deem less honorable. On these we must bestow more abundant honor. and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Do we have that view as a church? If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so as a church family, we have, especially in this season, got to be looking for ways to encourage one another to be serving and deploying the gifts. And if some of us are not using our spiritual gifts to encourage and build one up one another right now, we need to repent. The COVID is not an excuse. It's not a good excuse. God understands. He brought COVID to our life, and yet he's still commanding us to be faithful in stewarding our gifts. It may look a little bit different in the context, but we have to be faithful to be stewarding our gifts right now so the body can be encouraged and built up in their faith. And so this passage again explains how everyone with various ministries contributes to one another and how we can say to nobody that you're really not needed and this type of spiritual gift is not needed. We all need one another. And notice that it comes from the manifold grace of God. And I love that word. God views the opportunities, right, for using our gifts as his kindness. It's his kindness to us that we get to use these gifts. You did not earn it. You had no right to it. And yet God, by his mercy and kindness, gave you these gifts to be deployed in the lives of people so that you could enjoy having a purpose, a useful, amazing purpose in God's body. But then see the joy that comes when you see your gifts that the Lord has entrusted to you produce fruit in the lives of other people. It's delightful. And so this morning, we've covered 2 points so far, that you have to use your gift and that you're designed to serve others, but then you also need to maximize your ministry potential with your gifts. Maximize your ministry potential. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, whoever speaks, do so as the one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. And so this is an interesting verse, I think, for us to consider. As stewards, what does it look like? So I've been giving a gift, but how do I increase the use of that gift? What does that practically look like? And I think this part of the verse is emphasizing that. As I wrestled with this more, I wonder, what does this actually look like in my life? And so I wanted to give two with the two examples that the scripture provides. When I think of speakers, so let's say you're gifted with the gift of teaching, with exhortation. So many times you're in a speaking function within the church. You have to learn to be a better interpreter. I think that's part of what God is saying here, is how I increase my effectiveness is me being more faithful to be using God's words rather than my own words regularly in my life. And so, for example, this relates to exhorters, to teachers, to the encourager people. So think of pastors, think of your small group leaders. Maybe you're teaching in a faith community institute. Maybe you're a parent to children. You're a child ministry teacher. Maybe you're a counselor. Maybe you're discipling and mentoring somebody right now. As you think of how you're to be using your spiritual gift, especially as it relates to speaking, each kind of speaking opportunity presents an opportunity for you to handle as though you're speaking the very words of God and not your own. And so practically seeking to grow in handling God's word, practically seeking to grow in being faithful, to depend on God's words and trust them personally in your life. And so one of the takeaways maybe for teachers today is improving your ability by reading like a book like How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, so you can be better a student and teacher of God's word. Maybe it's taking a class to equip you more in your teaching skills, teaching in FCI, getting more involved with teaching in different avenues so you can get more skilled with teaching children versus adults versus those with special needs. Be thinking about how can I grow in maximizing my opportunity. And many times it's not going to be necessarily a more increases of opportunities to teach, but just being more effective with the few times that I do teach for the Lord. What about servants? So serve with the strength that the Lord provides. Well, what does that look like to be maximizing and how I serve with the strength the Lord provides? Well, practically, I think it looks like this, is many times we can serve in all sorts of ways, but we do so out of not a dependence, actually believing we need the strength of the Lord, praying dependently, asking the Lord to give us the strength that we need in order to do this. And so, for example, we could go and rake somebody's leaves for their house and yet not do that with the strength that the Lord supplies, actually believing that by God's power that he would actually help us when we rake the leaves to accomplish far more than we would think or imagine in the life of this person, to build them up in their faith. And so there's a sense of dependence in these verses that I think God is emphasizing. That servants are serving in such a way that they're depending on God's strength in order to do it. So, when I think of a leader, for example, you know, dragging Russells around you oftentimes leads you to think, I'm incapable, right? The energy, right, that it's requiring may be discouraging for you, and it's in those moments that you turn to the Lord, depending on his strength, and asking him to help you fulfill and using your gift in a way that honors him. And then finally, proper use brings glory to God through Christ. And so that's all of what our spiritual gifts are for. It's not to bring glory to ourselves, but glory to Christ, so that each of us is built up in our faith and Christ is honored. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so it is possible in ministry situations to do things to bring glory to yourself for your own fame. And again, as we have to think about, spiritual gifts are not like human gifts and human abilities. These are provided by the Spirit, and they're shown by the ways that they build up the body. You know, there's a number of individuals we've seen over the past couple years, very important, significant men who are pastors and leaders. There was one book in our resource center, it was called Dangerous Calling, and it was especially talking about the calling for pastors. And what was interesting is several of the individuals who had written the endorsement for that book have significantly fallen from God's grace. And so it's a reminder and a warning that God many times blesses us with spiritual gift, and by his kindness, he allows us to use that gift to bear fruit. But many times, right, there's the warning too that that gift ultimately is dependent and given by the Spirit to produce fruit. And all of a sudden, when that gift is no longer building up the body but tearing down the body, I think we have to be careful to understand that person may have a human skill of teaching, but I'm not sure that right now that, right, he's gifted by the Spirit to teach, because look at the effect that it's having on others, right? And so we have to keep in mind, God gives these spiritual gifts for the purpose of his glory and honor and for the building up of the body, right? And he doesn't necessarily in any of these verses promise that you're going to have these gifts forever and that they're always yours. They're given by him. And so it may look differently, even how he produces fruit in the body. And so our danger may not be the type of person who's going to be famous and can easily be gravitated toward pride, but we can still be proud, right? Even in the ministry context that we serve, it's very easy for us to crave a certain type of ministry or a certain type of gift, depending on where we serve in the body. And again, I think this warning is a great reminder of what's the purpose of the gift. It's for the glory of Christ. It's for the building up of the others. And so how do I guard myself from pride? Practically, many times, when I look back to 1 Corinthians, what was the encouragement? When somebody with a gift, God is blessing it in the body, what should the whole body be doing? Rejoicing. And that's one antidote, I think, to especially guard against pride in your life. Do you celebrate regularly the different gifts and the different abilities and the different servants that God has placed in the body? Or is oftentimes you're just doing this comparison game where you're looking at somebody else and you're many times not rejoicing when things are going well and they're serving well and how the body is especially being built up. And that's especially something you need to check your heart on, because that might be a source of you're gravitating too much to you rather than to the glory of Christ and the building up of the body. Whoever he chooses, the Lord chooses to give for the building up of the body. And so we can be tempted to self-worship. And so I hope as a church, as we're thinking in the days to come, you know, with all the opportunities that we have for stewardship in the days ahead, it's going to look differently, right? So we got the COVID, there's going to be economic challenges, maybe people who are going to be displaced from jobs in different ways. For those of you at Purdue, right, you might go away for a break and then come back next semester and find you're still in the Protect Purdue plan stage, right? And the vaccine is not here, right? There's all sorts of different circumstances and challenges that we may be facing in our world and community. But are you going to be faithful no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the challenges are right now as an individual follower of Christ to be using your spiritual gift, right? And it may look creatively, but making sure that you're deploying it and faithfully building up the body in this time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We're just amazed that by your kindness and grace that you would even choose, Lord, to even give a relationship with you, but then to allow us to participate in your plan and purpose of bringing glory to your name among all the nations is amazing. That you would entrust to us not only your spirit, not only your word, but even spiritual gifts empowered by your spirit that you've given uniquely for us to serve you, to get the joy and blessing of participating and using these in your body, and then to see the joy and fruit that you produce that we don't deserve. And Father, I pray, especially we see the ways that we can be better stewards of our spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray for those in our church family right now that they would be evaluating, especially what are the gifts that they can be using right now this week to build up somebody in their faith. Lord, help them not to be fearful, to be timid. Help them not to make excuses. Help them to be especially attentive to the ways that they can build up the body right now, and maybe in creative ways, Lord. Lord, I think of ways that right now we can be giving thanks for one another in the body, and all the more reason even next week as we talk about the stewardship of thanksgiving, but that's an antidote many times, Lord, for pride in our life, to be regularly giving thanks for your grace at work in others and ways that they're using their gifts. And Father, help us to do that. Help us to not clamor for certain types of gifts, but to be thankful for whatever gifts you have entrusted to us, and knowing that it's a blessing that we're different, that we need one another. And many times I think when we think of the gifts that we've been giving, oftentimes the people we tend to gravitate to in our lives that are a tremendous blessing are oftentimes the people who are very different than us, Lord, because we see of the blessing of their gifts to us. And so I pray we'd be regularly encouraging one another in those ways too. Father, this week as a church, help us to be deploying these gifts in a way that would honor you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.